Recent years have seen record temperatures, drought and wildfires in the USA, some of the long-predicted consequences of global warming. The Biden administration is now taking action, but surprising numbers of Americans still believe that scientific proof of climate change is either exaggerated or part of a plot to limit their freedoms. In the second of two reports, we go in search of those who refuse to accept the evidence and those looking for solutions to the threat we all face.
In the late summer of 2020, the state of California on America's west coast was being devastated by wildfires. It's recently become an annual occurrence, the result of global warming. That September, as public concern grew, then-President Donald Trump set off to see for himself. But before he left, his long-standing climate change skepticism was on full display. The problem in California, he said, was simply a matter of forest management.
They also have to do cuts. I mean, people don't like to do cuts, but they have to do cuts in between. So if you do have a fire and it gets away, you'll have a 50-yard cut in between, so it won't be able to catch to the other side. They don't do that. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
Mr. President, we've known each other too long.
At a meeting later, state officials and scientists pleaded with him to take the problem more seriously.
If we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
The current U.S. government takes a different, more rational view on the science. But America's climate skeptics haven't gone away. In October 2021, some of them gathered at an annual conference held in Las Vegas. It attracted hundreds of participants for sessions also streamed live on the internet. Stalls in the lobby sold everything from I Love CO2 lapel pins to literature. One book, written for children, was entitled Don't Be Afraid of Climate Change.
This book has over 1,300 reviews on Amazon, and they're 95% 4 and 5 star. 11 chapters on 11 different fake catastrophes and threats of doom.
I purchased your book, and it was an excellent, very summary, very brought down to earth, very, very proud of your presentation of the book as well. Thank you.
The conference was organized by the Heartland Institution, a conservative think tank that's funded by organizations such as Koch Industries, the largest petrochemical conglomerate in the United States. For $250, attendees were given dinner and a series of speeches by so-called climate experts. The president of the Heartland Institute opened proceedings.
Thank you for being here. I have to say, I am so happy. I feel speechless.
His presentation was both combative and wildly inaccurate.
The whole notion that we are facing a climate crisis is a delusion. We're here to fight back with the truth because climate change is what they're using as a Trojan horse for their globalist socialist agenda.
It was a common theme throughout the evening.
Washington declares that your carbon dioxide is causing a climate crisis. You're still breathing? How dare you!
The highlight of the show was a video from Germany and a new voice among climate change deniers.
My pleasure to introduce to you Naomi Zeit.
Zeit is the Institute's riposte to climate campaigner Greta Thunberg.
Greetings from Germany. My name is Naomi Zeit. And you may also know me as the anti-Greta. The media have slapped this label onto me to depict me as some sort of anti-Christ to the climate religion. But science is not a religion, and therefore I prefer to see myself as an antidote to irrationality and panic.
A 20-year-old German who has a history of far-right activism has been funded by the Heartland Institute to make videos challenging Thunberg's youthful appeal.
We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth.
The reason I don't like the term anti-Greta is because it suggests that I myself am an indoctrinated puppet, I guess, for the other side.
Despite her claims to be reasonable, Zeit's YouTube channel has been banned for spreading misinformation. But in this audience of avowed climate skeptics, no one seemed to care. The same fervor permeates the Morningstar Ministry in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Here, Pastor Rick Joyner teaches climate change denying classes at its Christian university.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you can check it out yourself. There are more polar bears right now on the Earth than ever before, as far as we've been able to measure. They're doing great, but some in some places are not doing so good. They're in the part where the ice is melting.
What have you found to be the main agenda behind this false, you know, climate change?
Take control of the world's energy, and by that, take control of the world's wealth and the world's people.
It's a conspiracy with few limits.
And now they're going to come get me.
But the more these conspiracy narratives are spread, the greater their potential for causing social stress and arguments over scarce resources. This is Klamath Country, Oregon, where a bitter battle for water is underway. Around 5,500 Native Americans live around its large lake. For countless generations, they've harvested its coho salmon, trout, and schwalm suckerfish, a right enshrined in an 1864 treaty with the U.S. government. Then the droughts came. Today, the tribal leader Clayton Dumont is taking to the water with biologist Alex Goyahu, a specialist in aquatic life. The sky is overcast because of forest fires ravaging the area.
Yeah, it's still beautiful, even in all the smoke and degraded water.
The area's farmers and cattle ranchers have been taking water from the Klamath Lake to irrigate their land. In return, pesticide and fertilizer residues have seeped back into it.
It's scary, you know, that they're very hardy fish.
The drought here means there's less and less water, and the quality of what's left is deteriorating. Now, the lake's precious fish are in danger of dying out completely, as they need very pure water to survive.
The issue is the survival of the juveniles. When's the last generation we had?
1993.
So since 1993, we haven't had any young survive in this water quality. If there were no humans born, right, for 30 years, at some point you'd begin to worry about the species going extinct. Same deal with the fish.
So this is about how low the lake should ever really be allowed to go in order to have 3 feet of water for the fish to feel safe in here.
Recently, tensions have been rising. In early 2021, the Klamath tribes took the ranchers to court to prevent them from overusing the lake water. The court decided in the tribe's favor, and the farmers' access was cut off. It came as a huge shock to the 200 ranchers involved, among them Dan Nielsen, who sees it as evidence of a wider conspiracy.
They called it global warming, now they call it climate change. They'll change it to something else to make it fit their agenda. They got a plan. They control the water, they control the people.
Until the ban, a dam blocked the lake and a canal irrigated the farms. After the ruling, federal agents came and closed the gates.
Our plan was to get enough people rallied up, get a couple thousand people. We were going to come pull the bulkhead and get the heads gates going and start getting water flowing to the farmers. Oh, yeah, we're ready. We're still ready, but you got to get people to back you up.
Dan is determined to organize a fight back and hopes to recruit his neighbors.
Hey, how you guys doing? guys. Trying to get a little info on how this water affected you guys this summer.
Well, it's really affected us.
You had no water at all this summer here, huh?
Nope. Didn't get nothing of water. The administration that we have in the office today is a communist administration.
Coho salmon, you know, it's on the endangered species list. How that can happen? You can buy it at Safeway, Albert's, and every store in town. You can buy coho salmon. So why is it on the endangered species list? Doesn't make sense.
Grant raises cows like his father before him. This summer, there is not a drop of water on his land. He had to sell most of his cattle.
It's dry. There should be feed that tall out there. It should be green, 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 and it's not.
The farm has drawn water from the lake for over 100 years.
They're blaming it on climate change, and you can go back and look through history and see that we have droughts, we have bad years, but you try to take care of your farmers because they're feeding the world.
It's perhaps not surprising that Klamath County's farmers are angry. The authorities have compensated them for the moment, but nobody knows how long those measures will continue. It's why some of them have called on one of America's most infamous right-wing activists. Emin Bundy and his father made a name for themselves during violent protests in 2014.
Get out of here, you coward!
That row was over access to public land for grazing.
You need to leave now!
Bundy and his associates gathered their guns and prepared to fight.
They have guns. We need guns to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government.
Emin Bundy has been at the forefront of other battles around the state to defend farmers against environmental protection measures. For many of Klamath Country farmers, his wild conspiracy theories about secret government plots have started hitting home.
What if I told you that you were being lied to? What if I told you that these lies are being told to get gain and to further people financially and to further a religious radical belief? What if I told you that there's a group of people that have rejected the teachings of the Bible and are willing to force others to their beliefs?
It's disturbing rhetoric that helps explain why many here are becoming radicalized.
It's a true patriot. It's how the American dream was made, with people like Emin Bundy that stand up. That's for sure. His speech that day, too, gave me a lot of confidence that we were doing the right thing as well here in Klamath.
Hey, you guys. I'm going to pray.
Now they are rallying around Dan Nielsen and his calls for action.
They're like, we fold our hands. You know what's going on in our world, Lord, with everything with COVID and water and everything that's going on. So, Lord, we just ask you to fight that battle. Use us as your warriors, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for all the things you do for us and this meal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Prayers are followed by discussion.
What is it that they're actually after?
Our land.
They've been after all the water forever. They got all the water.
Yes, sir.
But if you go do something, they consider you a terrorist when all you want to do is protect your family, your private property, your neighbors.
Right.
We're going to have to take it over ourselves, but we saw how well that went.
Even on camera, the threat is barely concealed. Believing themselves victims of evil forces, they say they are ready for violence.
I think these guys have about 200, 250 members. I think up in Redmond, they got a couple thousand people in their people's rights group. People will get together quick, and if you need help, they'll come.
But not every conservative American is out for a fight over climate change. Many have woken up to the threat we all face. One of them is the Republican mayor of a small city in Southern California. This is Lancaster, with a population of 150,000. And this is the mayor, Rex Paris. He met us on the roof of City Hall, which is covered with solar panels. Since 2008, he's led a quiet revolution here.
It's very uncomfortable for me to know
that right now, if the world continues the way it is, my grandchildren are going to die. That is very hard for me to accept.
Paris wasn't always a climate change evangelist. He used to be a skeptic, and even now, he's often accused of betraying his party's ideals. But it's a charge he rejects.
I'm a Republican. I bought my first handgun at 18. So I'm accused of being Trump-esque all the time. But that narcissism of Trump is going to kill us.
Being a Republican does not mean I'm stupid. But what has happened to the Republican Party in the last 10, 20 years is the fossil fuel industry funds them. And that's a nice way of saying bought them.
Today, Lancaster uses almost no fossil fuels. Its public transport is fueled by electricity and hydrogen, and its administrative buildings run on green energy. Its road network has been drastically reduced, and in the city center, hundreds of trees have been planted. The aim is to reduce the city's carbon footprint as much as possible, and it seems to be working.
As we sit here now, we have the technology to save this planet. We just need political leaders that'll do it.
As America gets hotter, the signs of global warming are often more visible in its countryside than in its cities. Farmland is so reliant on sufficient water that its lack can cause cascading problems that eventually affect everyone. But there are solutions out there, sometimes really simple ones, and plenty of people keen to share them. We caught up with one of them on the quiet backroads of rural Iowa. Ray Archuleta has been traveling the country for 6 years, a retired biologist who worked all his life at the Department of Agriculture. He now spends his time meeting with farmers.
Every time I see just monoculture, it really bothers me, because this doesn't reflect nature. Nature's diverse with hundreds of species.
He's convinced that to fight climate change, America's intensive agriculture has to stop.
This is the mission for me, to teach farmers how to mimic nature. I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life until I can't move anymore.
Ray's on his way to meeting with around 100 farmers. He hopes to convince them to embrace techniques that will both save water and make them richer.
Oh, look at these guys. They let you cross the border?
The audience is mostly conservative, cautious, and religious, including several Mennonite Christians who live in the area. At first glance, not necessarily the most open to new ideas.
Have you registered a hemp yet? Okay, your name?
$30, please.
But Ray's enthusiasm is hard to ignore.
Good morning!
Good morning!
That was beautiful. Do you see it? Do you guys feel it?
The presentation takes 2 hours, with most of the men inside and many of the women outside.
Living roots. Please tell me, how many of you are conventional farmers? You still do some tillage, still use some chemicals? Please raise your hand. Excellent. Okay. Well, how you farm is impacting the rest of the world. And how other people farm are impacting you. The solution is very simple. Forget the tillage, forget the chemicals. One thing only, cover the soil. If we did that, farmers, it would make a global impact, guaranteed. The next one.
He shows them several samples of soil in pots and waters them.
See how nature farms.
In the pots where he has allowed weeds to grow, there is very little water loss.
Runoff, infiltration.
In the pots where the soil has been worked and treated with pesticides, runoff, the water doesn't penetrate and drains away. It means you have to water a lot more to grow the crops. According to Ray, weeds are not so bad. They enrich the soil and save water. But he saves his most compelling argument for the end of his presentation.
Since he went down this direction, he saved $670,000 to $800,000 a year for the rest of his life.
His message that farmers can save on water and the cost of expensive pesticides and fertilizers has hit home.
Come on, Rage.
But to convince any doubters, he takes them outside to plots where his methods have been applied.
Come here, guys. We're going to go show you some cool stuff. This way. I want you to, everybody, go down and touch the soil right off the top of the bat. It's going to be hot. Now, this is a no-till cover, but notice right here, Dave, right off the top of the bat, it's going to be 20 degrees cooler. When you touch that, it makes a big difference. In fact, this is even cooler right here. Watch this. Come here. If all of our soils look like this, we won't be talking about global warming. It would not even be the discussion.
It's a simple message and just one initiative, but there are many others. It's back to drought-hit California.
28! I got that one. 11!
Donica Markigard keeps 1,000 cows on her 4,000-acre ranch.
8!
Like Ray Archuleta in Iowa, she follows a very simple principle. Let nature take its course.
Okay, let's just do that then.
Keeping the herd on the move stops the herd from damaging the soil and preventing the grass from growing. It also saves water.
We're mimicking nature. We're mimicking how the wolves moved the elk through the landscape. And any of the areas that are wet, they have a chance to recover.
The animals leave droppings behind, which fertilize the soil.
You can see the cattle were in here 20 days ago or something. So you can see this is starting to grow back after they've come and bitten it. So even here, when it's so dry and we haven't had rain, after the cattle bite the grass, it helps to promote the growth.
In fact, it's an age-old method of farming with some help from ultra-modern tools.
We are able to monitor and record out in the field on our smartphone, and then that links in to these maps on the laptop. So these are areas where we're moving the animals around. So it shows how many animals were in that pasture when. It shows how many days that's had to rest and recover with no animals on.
In short, Deniga knows exactly when and where to move her cattle and how soon grass will begin to grow back.
So you can see.
Since 2006, by using these simple methods, carbon storage has increased by 20% on her farm. In fact, she's now storing more carbon than she's generating, something she knows is as important for her children's future as for her business.
With our changing climate, we need to adapt, we need to be resilient so that our kids can have a good future and have clean air to breathe and fresh water and food security. Politicians and corporations, they talk about it, but they're not taking enough action. And we need to treat climate change like a true crisis, just like we did the coronavirus pandemic. And we need to all act and all get into action fast so that we can reverse the devastation that humans have caused.
The sad truth is that some in America have still to embrace these principles. Things that look straightforward and obvious on a Californian ranch or in a wildfire-threatened family home are clearly not yet getting through to the fossil-funded climate deniers and conspiracy theorists who see efforts to reduce carbon emissions as a threat to their personal freedoms. Hopefully, that will soon change and the country will reach full consensus on what needs to be done, if it's not already too late.